Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 175, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 175.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of James and thereof chapter 2. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Thus far our scripture reading.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art the silent witness of all that has taken place in this morning hour. May it be in that thou wast not silent, but that thou hast spoken. May it be even in the life of this one or of that one, in our midst in this morning hour, because of that solemn confession that was made by so many, I know not the man. And Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one. How many in our midst have had to stay away with no freedom to approach unto that table of the Lord. And so that dividing line that is seen in the midst of the congregation, which we know and there is no perfect line here below, but it will be made once again when we are all standing together one day at thy great judgment seat upon the great day of days, when thou shalt send forth thy angels, and when they shall make a separation between the sheep and the goats. O Lord, then something of this separation that was evident in our midst in this morning hour, even when each and every one of us do come up under thy truth Sabbath after Sabbath, then what shall it be for us to stand one day before thee? O Lord, we beseech thee, for that irresistible power of thy Holy Spirit, and that thou thyself would bind the seriousness of our life and of our soul upon the hearts of each and every one, before that it is forever and eternally too late. O thou who hast all power given unto thee, in heaven and in earth, and whose interest it is to send forth thy spirit for the conversion of men, because it is so to thy honor and to thy glory, now beginning in the time, but especially in that day when thou wilt take thy church unto thyself, and having put away all infirmities, then thy name will be glorified unto the highest. O Lord, is it not so in thy interest, in the interest of the glory of thy great and worthy name, and that thou wouldst remember young and old among us, And thou promisest to do it also amongst future generations, that thou, in the place where thou dost gather thy church, where thy word may be still proclaimed. Oh, we can only ask of thee, Lord, to do as thou hast said, and that thou may remember us and all our loved ones. Oh, that thou wouldst not leave us over to go our own way, because we make the awful choice of that natural heart as sons and daughters of Adam. But it needs to be a new choice by grace. Wilt thou remember also each and every one of thy own children? For thou knowest the place where they were in this morning hour, when there were those that may come forth to make that blessed confession, that all my righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags, and that I can do nothing without thee, and that thou art to me everything. O Lord, that thou may also bless and sanctify thy word and sacrament, and because day after day the warfare must be fought, and there can be so much discouragement within that battle, but oh, that thou may give the blessed use of thee, that they may be given to look upon thee continually, and to drink of that ever-flowing fountain, wherein they can receive everything that is necessary for time and for eternity. And Lord, when of thy church there were those who did not dare to come forth, thou knowest the place where that they were and are in this afternoon hour. Oh, that thou thyself may remember them and lead them in thy way. Oh, that thou may cut off all that human strength, all that human wisdom, and that thou may bring to such a complete end that they may be given to see such a beauty in thy dear and only beloved Son. That they may be given a heart, they may go out to thee with holy longings and desires, and that thou may give that in the future they may be given also to make that profession in the midst of thy church that thou dost require of them. Wilt thou not leave in darkness when that is our desert? Wilt thou look upon us also when we deceive our own souls? O Lord, thou knowest the heart better than that we do, and than that the tares, they must grow among the wheat in this world, but it is only that they may mature, and in the end they shall be separated and burned. O Lord, that thou would undeceive those that are deceived, and that thou would not leave one of us to go over to our own devices. Lord, that thou may bless word and sacrament also in this afternoon hour, that thy word may go forth with liberty and with freedom, and be with all those that need thee in special ways. The widows, the widower, and all those that have needs and cares known unto thee, those that go over this life alone, oh, that thou would be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Be with those that are old and weak. Thou knowest also the many fears that live in the hearts of those that have come to the end of life, and that must say that they still miss that which they know is so necessary. O Lord, the older, the colder. O thou who art able to break the hardest and the coldest heart, and to make it to melt in a moment, O we beseech thee also for them. And when there is one foot, as it were, in the grave already, and when that time is so very, very short that thou would look upon them, and that thou wouldst grant them that true faith and that true grace, remember all those that have needs which are not known unto others. Thou knowest the burdens that are carried in the homes and in the hearts, which cannot be made known. But, Lord, thou knowest everything, and that there may be a place where we may bring all our burdens, and that we may find that thou dost care for us. Wilt thou look upon all those that bring thy word to the ends of the world, that thy word may find free course in the midst of this wicked and a perverse generation, and that the nations in which we dwell, wherein sin does abound, may be brought to our knees before thee, and that thou wouldst not leave us to destroy ourselves and to receive thy just judgments. Wilt thou look upon our school, our teachers, our school board, the administration, the bus drivers, and our students, when they are gathered also from day to day under the instruction according to thy holy word. Oh, that our teachers may be granted hearts that fear thee, that that blessed reverence for thee and thy word may be evident in our classrooms, and that the fear of thy name may dwell there, and that that example that is set may be for a blessing for our children, that there may be youth and children who may remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Look upon all those that have left thy truth, the mourning fathers and mourning mothers, for children who are this day wayward. O thou who art able to bring them back, who hast the heart of a king in thy hands, that thou thyself may remember them, and that they may think this day upon that which they have heard in the days of their youth, and that thou may break their hearts and bring them again with weeping and supplications. Be with all those that are handicapped, all those that are afflicted with serious diseases, those that receive treatments therefore, and those that will receive also operations in the future. Wilt thou remember them also in all their needs and their cares? Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour? Lord, do grant us sufficient strength, that we may be enabled to bring thy word for a little while yet in this afternoon hour, that thou may give to us opening and liberty in thy word, and that there may be a blessing out of thy heavenly store, though we have forfeited everything because of our sin. Oh, do it, Lord, for the sake of thy great, for thy holy and worthy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 41, stanzas 3, 5, 6, and 7. The fear of God is undefiled, and ever shall endure. The statutes of the Lord are truth, and righteousness most pure. 3, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 41, and the last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home. congregation the words of our text for this hour. It can be found in that portion of God's Word that was read to you, James chapter 2, and thereof the 24th verse. James 2, verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So far, the words of our text, and that brings us, congregation, to our last thought concerning that subject that we have been considering about true faith. And what is that? That is, in this hour of reflection, that is the evidences of true faith, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. First, what these evidences are, and second, the examples that James gives here of these evidences. So the evidences of true faith, first, what these evidences are, and second, the examples of these evidences. This is a text, this is a portion, a congregation, that is perplexing to many persons. And why? Well, because the words of the Apostle Paul, they are exactly the opposite. Paul, he says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And we can read that he writes to the Galatians, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then James, in the words of our text, he says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Thus, that seems that those texts, that they fly in the face of one another, that they are completely contradictory, and that is the reason that even Luther and the early Lutherans, they have not given credit, divine authority, to this book of the Holy Scriptures. But these words, they are no contradiction. Indeed, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle James, they are using the same words. But those same words, they are being used in different senses. And thus, we may never fight about words. We can read how that when Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites have taught the people, that they did read the Scriptures not only, but they also gave the sense. And it is not the words, but it is the meaning of the words and how that those words, they are being used in their context. And we can see in the context that James and Paul, they are dealing in the history. They are dealing with two different errors. They are dealing with two different matters. The Apostle Paul, he is dealing with Judaizers. And the Judaizers, they said, well, except that ye be circumcised, and except that ye keep the law, ye cannot be saved. Thus, the Apostle Paul had to come against that error of those Judaizers, and when he did, then he has maintained, as we read, that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That is, in whose sight? That is, in the sight of God. And we can read also about Abraham, that Paul says that Abraham hath not whereof to glory, that is, before God. Thus, Paul, he maintains that the works of a man, they are not coming up as merit before God, and that it is alone by faith in Christ that a man is justified before God. To take anything away from this is to take away from the comfort of the true church, because as we have heard, that is a church that is not able to bring forth anything of merit. Even in true faith, there is so much lacking. And then there is no merit in that which is lacking, but there is only merit in that which is perfect. And thus it is alone what Christ has merited for his church, and that is coming before God for the salvation of his people. James, he is not dealing with Judaizers. James, he is dealing with a so-called faith. Thus, James is dealing with a hypocritical faith. What does he say? He says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith? Thus, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man make a pretension, if he just says that he has faith? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Thus, he speaks not about God's children, no, but he speaks about, O vain man, that is an empty man. That is an empty man that is making a profession of a true faith. And James, he is exposing that empty speculation of a mere professor. And how does he expose that? He exposes that mere profession by its lack of evidences. That is, he says, by its lack of works. Because those works, he says, they are the fruits of that faith. And those works, they in a very natural way, they will attend that faith. So that if they are missing, then it is obvious that that faith, that is not a true faith. And then he gives an example. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, he says, what doth it profit? Thus he gives an example. He takes another subject. He speaks not about faith now, but he speaks about charity. He speaks about love. And he says, if one of you have loving words, and those loving words, they do not bring forth any fruits, and you say to that needy person, well, just be warmed and be filled, but you don't give him what he needs, well, then what are your words? Then your words are, they are just empty words. Why? Because those words, they are lacking the evidences that they are true. Thus, they are lacking in the fruit. And now he says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Thus, Paul and James, they are speaking about two different things. James, he is speaking about what it is that justifies a man, that is before God. And he says that this is that a man, he is justified by faith. But on the other hand, James, he is speaking about who is actually justified. And he says that is not everyone who makes a claim that they profess, that they possess a true faith. But it is only those who actually have a true faith. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? That is not true faith. But that pretension, that profession of faith, that speaking about faith, can that save a man? How is that true faith known? James says that that faith is known by its evidences. It is known by its fruits. It is known by that which it is bringing forth. Because causes, they are known by their effects. As the Lord Jesus says, that the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Then we see not, boys and girls, the wind. But we see only the effects of the wind. We see only what it is doing. And when we see what that wind is doing, then we know that that wind is blowing. And so also James says that it is with faith. Ruth's faith, we have mentioned that last time. Ruth's faith that was known by its works. What were the works? Was that talkativeness by which Ruth's faith was known? No, that was not by talk, but that was by forsaking. That faith that was known by her cleaving. And John, he says, hereby we know that we are passed from death unto life, he says, because we love the brethren. And now Ruth, she maybe would not say that of herself, and yet it could be seen and heard in her confession by Naomi that she may make also a judgment upon her daughter-in-law. What do we read of Saul of Tarsus? When that true faith is born, then that true faith also has evidences. What do we read? We read that the Lord says, behold, he prayeth. Do you pray too? Then maybe you have not had freedom to come forward to that table in this morning. But are there evidences of that true faith still in your life? What is now a mother listening for when she may deliver a child into this world? That she may know that that child lives? When then she is listening for a cry? Thus we have the very first works that are connected unto that true saving faith. Justification that is known by the evidences of sanctification. How do we know a tree is alive? We cannot see the sap that is flowing through its veins, but we can see the greenery. And we know a tree, we can read in God's Word, by the fruits. Are those fruits the cause of the life of the tree? You say, obviously not. The fruits, they do not cause the tree to live. No, the fruits, they are the evidences that that tree is actually alive. And so the fruits of sanctification, they are not the cause that a man is justified. No, but they are the evidences that a man is justified. Thus works, they are not the ground of the confidence of a man. They merit nothing. But those works indeed are the encouragements for the assurance of a man, because they are the evidences. But are those evidences of true faith, by which we may judge ourselves and by which we may judge one another? Say, judge one another. May we judge one another? What does Christ say? Christ, he says, ye shall know them. How? Not because you can see what is in their heart, but you can see the effects of it. What is our life? Can the world see that we belong unto the denomination which has the truth? What are the effects? What are the fruits of the life of God's true children? John says, hereby do we know that we love him if we keep his commandments. Thus, he says, if we love him, then we will walk like we love him. Then we will keep his law. You say, the law? Will you now bring us back to the law? We thought that that law was left behind. That law was finished. Congregation, it is God's law. It is an eternal law. It is a blessed law. Paul says, when he speaks about justification, do we then make void the law of God? God forbid. No, he says, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and the commandment is just, and that commandment is good. If Christ does deliver a man from sin, then what does he deliver him from? But what is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. So if a man is delivered from transgressing the law, then what is he delivered unto? Well, he is delivered unto obedience to the law. Oh, that is an eternal deliverance. An eternal deliverance from the transgression of the law. Oh, What does your heart say of this? Because this deliverance from the transgression of the law is that desire that is living in the heart of God's true church. Do we bring them back again to a covenant of works in order to merit by the law? God forbid. That is forever finished in the life of God's children. But congregation, that law that was given unto whom? Well, you say that was given unto Adam in that covenant of works, yes. But it was given once again. Did the Lord then bring His children back at Sinai to a broken covenant? No. But the Lord gave His law to His own children. And that law was given to His own children under the sprinkling of blood. That is, that law was given to His own children, not as a covenant of works, but that law was given unto His children under the operation of the covenant of grace. Thus the law is not finished. No, in our Heidelberg Catechism, then our fathers speak about the law in two places. They speak first about the law in the beginning. That is because that law that has a work of uncovering to do, that a man may be not justified by that law, but that there may be room and place by the use of that law to strip him of all his own righteousness, that he may be saved and delivered by faith through grace alone. But now that law that is explained by our fathers in the Heidelberg Catechism, from commandment to commandment, not in the part of misery, but it is explained in the part, in the very part of deliverance, of thankfulness. Thus, what does that law that is the keeping of that law that is a representation of the gratitude that is living in the heart of that true church. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And then James gives to us some examples. That is our second thought. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Thus we have, in the first place, the example of Abraham. And why does James bring forth the example of Abraham? Well, because Paul, he brings forth the example of Abraham. And Paul uses that example of Abraham as a prime example of justification by faith. We heard that because we heard that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And now what does James say? Then he says, now wait a moment, you persons who will abuse that faith of Abraham, those of you who will presume, those of you who will have nothing but words. And then he is asking them, if you say that you have that faith of Abraham, then I ask you whether you have the evidences of that faith that Abraham had. There are people also today that say you must never doubt. You must not question whether that faith is right or not right, because all doubting is sin. You must believe. You must believe that you are saved. You must believe that you are forgiven. You must believe that you are justified. What does Paul say? Paul says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in that faith. No, we do not say that we ought to question or doubt our duty to faith. But we may well question whether we perform this duty, whether we actually have true faith. There is a great difference, congregation, between faith and presumption. What is the difference between faith and presuming? Do you say, well, that difference, that is in the confidence. The one has confidence, the other has no confidence. Faith has confidence, presumption has no confidence. Is that right? Say no, presumption also has confidence, much confidence, and sometimes more confidence, vain confidence than faith has. What is the difference between faith, true faith, and presumption? That's not in their confidence, but it's in their ground. There was a house, the Lord Jesus says, that was built on the sand, and there was another house that was built on the rock. And that man that built his house in the sand went to live in it with also a blessed confidence that was living in his heart. But he had no ground for it. That man is not the most blessed who has the least trouble. But that man is blessed who has the least cause for his trouble. And that's why James, he is speaking unto those who have this vain confidence. He says, do you have ground for that, O vain man? Can your faith save you? Do you have grounds to believe that that is now the right faith? Do you say that you have Abraham's faith? Well, if you have Abraham's faith, you must also have Abraham's evidences. Christ, in the book of Revelations, he says, he speaks about the judgment, and he says that man will be judged, every man according to his works. What works? Well, the works of faith. The works of true faith that make that true faith evident. Then we have to ask what they are, because the Lord Jesus, he says that many, they will say to me, Lord, Lord. And he says that they will say, we have also done many wonderful works. And he says to them, and he will say to them, I do not know you. Thus we have to ask what those works are. What are now those works? What are now those evidences in that life of Abraham? Well, we know that when the Lord appeared to Abraham, that Abraham fell on his face. Faith, true faith, works a reverence for a holy and a righteous God that is not in the heart of the natural man. But, so that is one thing, but because we can see that in many ways in Abraham's life, but we are going to stay more with what we read here in James. Those evidences, they are seen especially in the way of obedience. Obedience. Abraham, what was that first obedience that we read of him? That he, at the call of the Lord, he left his kindred and his father's house. And he went into another land by the command of the Lord. Thus, what was the first evidence in the life of Abraham that was obedience? And it was the calling of the Lord to a forsaking, to the forsaking of the world, and to go in the way that the Lord Himself is commanding. That is already the obedience, the first works, which are evident in that choice-making faith. We have seen that in the life of Ruth, that she also, by that same faith, she was obedient, that she is making that choice, that good choice by faith. But now James, he is speaking of this obedience once again. And he speaks about that great trial wherein Abraham is called to offer up his son Isaac. That is, of course, a great trial for Abraham. And that is requiring of Abraham a great self-denial. That was not just to give up his natural son. That is, it is not just a trial concerning natural affections. No. But Abraham, he is called to lay aside every hope that the Lord had given to him in his life. That is, at that command of the Lord, that Abraham will only follow, even if it had to be that everything that he had hoped for in the past, that would all come to nothing. What did David say unto Araunah? He said, I will not offer unto the Lord a sacrifice which cost me nothing. Faith that becomes evident in the despising of the cost of faith. As Abraham, he has chosen the riches of Christ, esteemed them greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, then it cost him something. Because he easily could have had everything he desired in this world when he had only forsaken that afflicted and poor people of the Lord. Thus the Lord does not only say that obedience is better than sacrifice, but the Lord says that obedience actually that includes sacrifice. You say, where do we find it in the Word of God? Well, the Lord Jesus, He says, he that hates not father and mother and wife and children and sisters or brothers, well, then they cannot be my disciple. Thus, obedience that is the evidence of the truth of faith, obedience with its included sacrifices. That obedience does not merit, no. That obedience is not the cause, no. But that obedience is the evidence. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That is, he is justified before men, and not only justified before men, that justification may become evident, but also to receive something of that assurance for his own heart. 30 years before, we read that the Lord has appeared unto Abraham. And the Lord has promised Abraham a seed. And we read that Abraham believed in the Lord. And he counted it unto him for what? For righteousness. Thus, Abraham was at that time already justified. But now, 30 years later, the Lord comes back again and the Lord assures him of that faith. Then he gives him strength to go through an awful trial that only that faith is able to endure. And you can read it when you go home, but the Lord, he then renews to him that promise after 30 years. But at the same time, the Lord declares to Abraham the sincerity of his faith. Because what does he say to him? He says, now I know that thou fearest God. Let us sing 428, the first stanza. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. What follows in the first stanza of Psalter 428? Thank you. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Thus James' congregation gives to us a second example. And why another example? Well, maybe you say, well, Abraham, that is the father of the faithful, who can now come up to reach that faith and those works of Abraham. But then James says that does not only belong to Abraham, but it belongs to everyone, even those first actings of that smallest faith, because here he says we have a woman, and she is a heathen, and she is an harlot. But he says those words that Rahab spoke, when she said to those spies, "The Lord your God, He it is that is God in the heavens, and He it is that is God in the earth." James says that profession of Rahab, they were no empty words, but they have been made evident by the truth of them was made evident by the works that she has done. That was also a work of great self-denial, because what did she do, children? Rahab, you know the story. Then she hid those spies, but that was a work that if that was found out, then she was a traitor of her own country, and she can only expect torture and death. Thus, in that very act of Rahab, there were evidences of something. In that very act, there was evidence that her heart that had already gone over onto that other side, then in her heart, then she had already lost her life in order that she may gain her life. Thus, it was an act of faith within, but that act of faith within that is producing a deed. But that deed that cannot be done unless her heart that has already forsaken that old foundation and that trust in her own country, and it has forsaken that foundation, and it has by faith that has received a hope upon another foundation. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by faith? And we know that act of Rahab, that was done in weakness, because there was even, boys and girls, a lie. Oh, Rahab, she did not need to lie, because the Lord, He does not need a lie. But she did lie. Do not lie, boys and girls. But Paul in Hebrews and James here speak about that act of Rahab and congregation. Nevermore do we find that the shortcomings and the sins that are committed even in that act of faith, they are not mentioned anymore. Is that not a wonder? We see that also with Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son Isaac upon the altar? Children, you can tell me. Did Abraham offer his son Isaac upon the altar? Say, no, did not do that. You say, maybe, yes, he did do that. What do you mean? Say, well, he sacrificed him already in his heart It did not happen actually, but in his heart, he did do it. That is right. That is right. And what does the Lord say? Well, read it. It says, when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Thus the Lord says, he did offer him. He did offer him. That means that the Lord, he has taken the will for what? For the deed. And the Lord, he has counted it as the deed. Oh, what a great comfort that is so often in the life of God's true church. Why? Because that duty to perform that law, congregation, that is not as they would like it to be. But yet there is the Spirit that is witnessing with their own spirit what is now the desire of their heart. And that is now the most essential part. Because David, the Lord says, whereas thou didst desire to build a house unto my name, he says, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Oh, the Lord knows what is in our heart. Between God and our soul, that may never be an excuse that we have not the desire and the intention to bring those works to fruition, to complete fruition, no. But the Lord, he is himself, as we can read, he is sometimes himself standing in the way of it. Oh, there is no good thing that lies in the heart of a man that the Lord has not put there himself, because in our heart there lies no good thing, congregation. But what is now the reality? The reality in the life of God's children, that is with Paul, he says, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. David, he says, O Lord, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And then he says what? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, that I could do that. Congregation, this morning, the Holy Supper of the Lord, and there were a few. There are so many of us. And now there were a few, just a few, that were able to make this profession. But now James, he says, what are they profit? Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? There can be no true faith without evidences, without fruits. Those two things belong together. For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That is a dead faith, whether we come to the Lord's Supper or not to the Lord's Supper. Faith without works, that is dead. The Spirit that is witness in the hearts of the faithful. And that witness is missing in the heart of the hypocrite. But if Christ be received in our heart for the deliverance from sin itself, that is, then, congregation, we have no desire to walk in the ways of sin. That is a contradiction in itself. It is only the antinomian who says, let us do evil that good may come, and their damnation, we read, is just. But the smallest look upon that cross that will make sin to appear 100 times more evil. Or if that sight of that cross may only be retained in the life of God's children, and then that walk, then it will evidence what that true faith is. O people of the Lord, the obedience of faith that is evident in the sacrificing of our Isaacs, Oh, may the Lord give that this may be manifest among us, a congregation, most of us. We remain in this morning in our seat. Do you know what that means? That means we are in a state of unbelief. Is that not an awful thing? We heard what that is. That it is the greatest offense unto God. We do not believe Him. That is concerning our own misery, and at the same time concerning the gift of His only begotten Son. And if we continue in that state of unbelief to the end of our life, will He not be so just to increase our stripes in 100-fold? Oh, that faith that is a gift of God, is that not a good thing? Because if you ever have tried to exercise it in your own strength, then you say, what a hypocrite I am. Where can I get it from? Oh, will you not seek it from Him who is able to give it unto you? Because He says that He will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Oh, may this Sabbath day and that confession that we have made, may this be sanctified unto our hearts, that we go out of this place and say, oh Lord, I am in that state of unbelief, that it may become our guilt before God, and that in such a way His only begotten Son may be made precious unto us. But we know that there are also those who are not necessarily altogether without true faith, because that is a faith that can be in its beginnings, and you cannot, and you dare not approach. But your choice, the choice of your heart, that is also known unto the Lord. And even the first works, they are not hid from His eyes. Boaz, He said, it has fully been shown me, fully. Oh, He knows what is living in your heart and what your life is. Oh, then He knows what that secret chamber is. It hath fully been shown me. What? That choice. It hath fully been shown me how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. Oh, the heart that has forsaken it. and come unto a people whom thou hast not known heretofore. Oh, those first works, they are worked by the Lord. They are seen by the Lord. And then that Boaz, oh, that blessing that he gave unto Ruth, even in that first time, that he said, the Lord recompense. The Lord recompense and give you a full reward. A full reward. May you be given that by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. To trust. That was that beginning faith. O congregation, may that time come that we also may be privileged in that name of that greater Boaz to reach unto you a little parched corn. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who knowest the hearts, wilt thou cause thy word to receive a place within us? For there are young and old also in the way of grace, children, fathers, young men and fathers, the daughters of Jerusalem, and also the bride. And there is a people that must be led step by step. Oh, that thou wouldst be busy among us, Lord, because we will never be busy unless thou dost make us busy with it. Dismiss us with thy blessing, or wilt thou grant thy blessing upon all and that has been seen and heard and participated in this day, that we may receive receive an after blessing also in the week that is to come. Keep each and every one of us in all the labors of our hand, granting unto us a prosperity from above. And wilt thou sanctify afflictions, forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 428 stanzas 2 and 8. O let thy spirit be my constant aid, and that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes, so to be obeyed. And the 8th, 2 and 8 of 428. Thank you. gladly I redeem, that I shall keep as always I have striven. Judgment holy and complete, when unto me thy helping grace is receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.